chapter 4, verse 4. Is there something wrong?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought maybe we had a prayer request. Or Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's word. God's word. There's nothing. There's nothing that can replace God's word. This is our survival. This is how we live in this world. Is from God's word. I know we eat food, but that's for our physical body. But it's his word that maintains our spirit, and it's his word that will take control of our soul. It'll give our spirits ascendancy over our fine-tuned thinking machine. I notice there's a lot of people running around that don't have a grip on the word of God, and they're in a panic state of mode right now. And we don't want to be there. This is the way not to be there. Go to James chapter 1, verse 22. Understanding what Jesus just said, that we live by the word of God. That sustains us. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, that's our New Testament promise when we focus on the Word. When we look in that Word and be doers of the Word, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed. The Old Testament version of that is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where God told, this is a good one. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, I can't even imagine what this guy must have been thinking. Because one day he's servant to a mighty man of God named Moses. And Moses had just done all kinds of wild miracles. And now they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And God told Moses, said, you don't get to go. But he decided that Joshua was now going to lead these people. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, you got millions of people that you're responsible for. And here's what God had to say to Joshua, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I can't prove it, because I never read it in the Bible anywhere, but I bet Joshua, when God told him what was going down, I bet he went and found Caleb and said, "Hey, we've been to this river before, and we went over there, and we seen it was a good land, and now we got to take these turkeys in there again, but these are new ones. Get in agreement with me on what God just said, and just make this happen." I can't prove that. That's just something I thought of. But I can imagine, since Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that came back with a positive report, I would imagine that they may have had a conversation about this next trip into the Promised Land. But God told them what to do. He said, "Meditate on my word day and night." Here's the thing. I've heard people say, "You meditate on God's word all the time, he's going to have to do something." What are you going to do? Bend his arm? I've actually heard preachers say that. They meditated on God's word long enough till God had to do something. That's bull. God has already done something. He said what he said. He gave you all things freely with Christ Jesus. He told you to meditate on the word so you can change. You're not going to change God. You're not going to change God ever at all. If anybody needs changing, it's us. And we do it with his word. We get his word in our mouth so we can get it in our ears, so we can get it in our heart, so we can get it in our mouth again, and keep repeating that process, and then faith will happen, and then we can speak it forth in faith and watch his word change us and watch our words change our circumstances. That's God's design. Now, he said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And actually, that word is Christ. When you hear the words of Christ, it builds faith in your heart. When you hear what Christ has done for you in his grace through his death, burial, and resurrection, when you hear what he's doing for you now, when you hear these good things that they've done for you, what they are giving to you, what they've already given to you, it causes faith to happen in your heart. So now you can understand that faith is actually a response to something that's already been done. Too many times, people get caught trying to make faith happen. And it's just a frustrating cycle. But faith is something that happens because you believe in his grace. You believe what Jesus already did, you're going to operate in faith. You believe what Jesus has already given to you, you're going to receive it, you're going to operate in faith. Faith and grace can never be separated. Without understanding grace, you're not going to have faith. Without operating in faith, you're not going to receive that grace. Faith and grace are just, they're hooked. They're never separated. Faith and grace are Jesus. He is faith and he is grace. Now, this is the secret of receiving and operating in success. Meditating on that word. Always remember, when we run into a problem, we've already got an answer. There's already an answer. The answer was already given. So we run into a problem, so we go find the answer. In the Bible, we read that, and you think, wow, that's a big problem. So then we look at that word, and we got to decide: is this real? Is this right? So then we got to meditate on that. We got to study it a little bit, meditate on it, and keep hearing it. Because remember, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So we keep hearing that word, and then we start listening to sermons that are talking about that subject. We start reading material that are talking about that subject. We start finding more answers in the Bible that talk about that subject. And we meditate on that. And then pretty soon, you know what happens? You wake up and you say, you know, that's the truth. And that's right. And that's mine. Did you change God? No. He changed you. He changed you with His Word when you did what He told you to do with His Word. Look at Psalms chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. My Bible, the word blessed is in all capital letters. So maybe he was hollering. Blessed! Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So how would a man walk in the counsel of the ungodly? You know, we hear the counsel of the ungodly all the time. I sit there, I watch these guys set traps for people all the time. And it's like, they say, what you need to do is you go take your money out of these small hometown banks and put them in the big bank. That's the last thing you want to do. Take your money out of the big banks and put it in the small hometown bank. You know, or buy some gold, silver. Almost 100% of the time, if there's somebody on the mainstream media, if their lips are moving, they're lying. Same way with most of the Republicans and most of the Democrats, although there's some Democrats that are leaving the Democrat Party in big ways, and some Democrats that are actually, one of them actually saved our bacon several times. He stopped things from happening that would have destroyed this country overnight, and he didn't let it happen. See, not everybody that is in a group is bad, and not everybody in the other group is good. We have to have that discernment. We have to watch what they do. But we have the opportunity to fall for the counsel of the ungodly all the time. But verse 2 says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. There's that meditate again. We get bombarded with lies and false information constantly. It's everywhere. I mean, we have doctors with PhDs that bombard us with lies, bombard us with poisonous ideas. Our job is to look to the Word of God and find out what the truth is and then meditate on that. You know, doctors will tell you, you got 3 months to live. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, with the long life will I show you my salvation, satisfy you and show you my salvation. That's what the Word says. We have to decide who we're going to agree with. Are we going to agree with God, or are we going to agree with the world? I would say stay away from the world's ideas, because the world is collapsing before our eyes. Here's the benefits of meditating on the Word. It said, he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That sounds like a good plan for us, doesn't it? Pretty much, God's telling us if we meditate on his word day and night, things work out pretty good for us. This reveals seven acts of a born-again man with the word. Number one, he delights in the word of God. You know, God's word is so adventurous. If you haven't noticed, there's a lot of different rabbit trails you can chase around. You know, you get to study in a subject, and you can just follow through a whole bunch of different areas, and then pretty soon you find yourself way over here when you was right over there. You was trying to read one subject, and then you ended up all the way over here. But his word, there's so much in his word, we're never going to get it all down. We can learn something every single day from his word. I actually heard a guy say one time he knew everything about the Bible, everything about God. And I thought, man, that's crazy. And he ran into a bunch of hardships and bad things happened. I guess he got humbled. I'm not sure what all went down, but it all came to an end. Verse 2 says that he meditates in that word day and night. And then he makes a decision to obey it. He makes it his rule of life and conduct. This is one of those spots where the rubber meets the road, where you're going to be a doer of the word. You know, you wake up warm morning and you get something growing on your leg. You got choices to start making right now. You can, number one, the very first thing most people do, the first thing they do is go to the doctor. I would say the first thing you should do is run and take communion and pray over that thing. Sometimes we don't give God a chance to work. Smith Wigglesworth said that, and he prophesied this day and time in America where miracles would be hard to come by because people would have too many choices. You know, they can go to the doctor, they can go get this medicine, or they can go do this, or they can go do that. Instead of just having to sit down and believe God for their miracle or their healing. One thing I would like to see is I've read stories about these missionaries, and they'd be in really poor countries, you know, maybe down in Mexico, Central America, and that. These people would come up for prayer and they'd have bad teeth. They needed fillings or caps. And so they'd come up and ask for prayer, and they'd ask them, said, you need fillings or whatever, caps? And they'd say, yeah. They said, do you want gold or silver? And they'd tell them what they wanted and they'd get it. I would like to see that. I think that would be fun. But there's a spot where they don't have any other choice. They're going to get it from God or they're not going to get it. Another thing is he will make it his standard of faith. The word will be his standard of faith. He's not going to come into agreement with what the world says. It's going to be what the Word says or nothing. This man will read the Word of God to get knowledge and wisdom. One thing about our souls is we crave knowledge and wisdom. So then we start studying and we start looking at all. Have you noticed there's a lot of information out there? We live in the information age. But the true wisdom is going to come from the Bible. The true wisdom is going to come from His Word. The true knowledge is going to come from His Word. Now, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to learn different things. You know, we do have to develop our souls. But we do have to understand that we can't let the worldly wisdom and the worldly knowledge overpower or overrule what the Word of God says. You know, we do have these three-part beings. You know, we have bodies, we have souls, and we are a spirit. And there are some people that have fed their bodies, taken care of their bodies, you know, and you see them, and these guys got arms that are bigger than my legs, you know. You know, they just got muscle. Well, they've done. They concentrated on the physical aspect of their self. And then we have these geeks that have committed everything to learning and learning and learning and learning and learning. And they're smart. They got PhDs. And they're educated idiots because they believe absolutely everything that they read out of a book except for what the Bible says. And then we got some guys that had done nothing but read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible, but they didn't exercise their body, and they weigh 300 pounds. There's a balance. It's good to learn things for your soul. It's good to entertain your soul. It's good to exercise and take care of your body, but it's important to read the Word of God. It has some balance in there. So you can have all three parts of you being strong. With the most important part of it, your spirit being strong. So that your spirit can control your flesh and your spirit can control your soul. John said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers." So He wanted you to prosper and be in health, but he understood that it was very important for your soul to prosper so that you could handle that wealth. And I've seen people that managed to end up with a whole bunch of money and it almost killed them. Some of them it did kill them because their soul wasn't developed enough. Their soul hadn't been prospered because their spirit hadn't been prospered and it wrecked them. Some of them overnight. Soul development is important, and it won't come any other way. That wisdom will come from the Word of God. Well, that's a good place to stop. When we understand that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and we understand that if we meditate on that, our faith is going to happen. It's going to grow. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every single day. As our high priest, as you're continually making intercession for us. Father, we thank you for your guidance, and we thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us. And show us how to rightfully divide your word. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, she back to El Paso. Yeah. Is there some specifics or does anybody know something? Oh.
But they thought she was through. And when they did her white cell count, that was...
Okay, so this is, we're just at an appointment.
Right.
Okay. 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 Well, Father, we thank you for taking care of Lupe. And Father, that we thank you that she will be able to come home. And that she has a family here that loves her and it will help her. And Father, we thank you for holding her strong and keeping her faith and her spirit up. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to keep doing a good work in her life. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.